Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. I want to give a quick shout out to Haymarket, Virginia.
All right.
All right.
Haymarket.
I like that name. Oh, you know what? The first picture I saw on when it's showing Haymarket.
What's that?
A coffee shop.
I think Haymarket is for us.
We need to go.
Is Haymarket in the mountains or on the coast? I don't know,
but it says it's only a couple hours from us.
Well, that means,
Haymarket, we're coming for you.
Yeah, coffee time.
All right. You can check us out at graceintheshadows.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645, or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadows.org. If you are looking for a clinical counselor and you live in Alabama, Virginia, North Carolina, Dr. J is your man. Anywhere else, he's a pastoral counselor too, so you can reach out to him. All right.
Why did the girl toss a clock out the window?
I don't know why.
She wanted to see time fly.
Oh, I should have gotten that. Okay, lovely.
I've got another one.
Of course you do.
What happens when doctors get frustrated?
They scream.
They lose their patience.
Oh, but that bump, bump, bump. Okay.
All right.
Moving on. Well, here's a historical fact. 46 BC was 445 days long.
What?
And it's the longest year in human history. It was nicknamed the Year of Confusion.
Oh.
This year had two extra leap months inserted by Julius Caesar. This was the order to make his newly formed Julian calendar match up with the seasonal year.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
All right. Another fact. In the Victorian era, men with mustaches used special cups, pragmatically called mustache cups. These specially made cups had guards on them, which prevented a man's mustache from dipping into their warm cup of tea. Oh. And you know what? My mom had one.
Really?
I remember, I don't know where it ended up, but she had one and it was really cool because it had like the shape of a mustache inside.
Nifty.
And when they would drink, that's where they would put their mustache.
That is pretty nifty.
Yeah, very nifty. Okay, so what's our topic today?
We are doing 1 Samuel 31 and we're talking about Saul and his sons meet their final fate.
So we are kind of rounding up Saul.
Oh, Saul.
Okay, the study of Saul. Okay.
Yeah, not good. Go ahead and read verse 1, if you would.
1 Samuel 31, verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them, and many fell dead on Mount Gilboa.
So the Philistines fought against Israel. The Philistines, you know, David had kind of drifted away from God here.
True.
For the last 15 months, David has been buddied up with the Philistines.
Not a good, I mean, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, he's scared of Saul.
Well, I know, but.
And I think he was kind of mad at God.
Well, yeah, he could have been.
You know, during this time period, there's no documentation that David wrote any Psalms to God.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
So, you know, a lot of times when we drift away from God, it is a precarious situation.
Yes, it is.
But anyhow, the Philistines began to attack deep in Israelite territory. Mm-hmm. And Saul's armies assembled. And remember last time, Saul went to a witch or a medium.
Yeah, psychic.
Yeah. And instead of seeking the Lord, he went to her.
Okay.
And strangely enough, God did speak to Saul.
He did.
And it wasn't a good thing because he spoke words of judgment through the unusual vision of the prophet Samuel.
Very true.
And remember what Samuel told Saul? The next day, what's going to happen?
He predicted he was going to die.
Yeah, him and his sons.
And his sons would die. Yes.
So the Philistines fought against Israel. And you know, the interesting thing is David wanted to be a part of this attack, this battle.
Interesting.
But in the Lord's mercy and the Lord's providence, the leaders of the Philistines did not allow David. I think they thought, and they probably were right, that David would change his mind in the middle of the battle and start fighting against them.
Well, considering that he killed Goliath like he did, that makes sense. Totally.
And I think they were probably right. I think that was God's providence, too.
Right, because, I mean, it would not be good for him to have killed Saul.
Correct.
Yes.
And so the men of Israel fled before the Philistines.
Okay.
And they fell slain at Mount Gilboa.
All right.
Now, Gilboa was located, the location of the Israelite camp. And so, interesting enough, it seems that they were fighting, and the Philistines on this foothill drove them back to their camp and then slew them all there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's how bad it was.
That's awful.
You can almost picture it.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead and read verse 2. This is sad here.
Okay, verse 2.
Yeah.
The Philistines were in hot pursuit of Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua.
Saul's sons.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, there's one left over, Ish-bosheth, that, and we'll get to another time. But here, these three sons are fighting with Saul.
Yeah.
Saul is killed, but tragically, his sons die. You know, fathers, we really can set our families up for walking with the Lord in victory.
Yeah.
Or walking in failure or defeat.
You're right.
Because what happens, what we do affects others.
Correct.
Affects our children.
Yes.
It affects our coworkers.
Right.
It affects our friends.
Yes.
Affects our churches.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we kind of curse them through our own deficits or sins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saul's sons, the first one makes me really sad.
Yeah, his son Jonathan.
Jonathan was a man of God.
He was.
And he had a great name, too, by the way.
Oh, he did. Yeah. I wonder who else I knew named Jonathan. Yeah. Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah.
But Jonathan loved the Lord, and he loved David.
He did.
But, you know, I think in God's sovereignty, first we're like, God, why didn't you prevent this?
Right.
But you can see God's grace here.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I think that, yeah, Jonathan would have gladly, willingly given the throne to David. We already know that.
But we also know that there probably would have been people that rose up and wanted to follow him as king. Because,
yes.
You know, in rightly in the order of things,
yep.
He naturally would have become king. So I can see where that would have caused some issues.
And he still had one brother left
right.
that David would slay. I mean, yeah. We'll see later. But
right.
I think that would have brought a lot of, that would have been hard on him.
Would have brought a lot of confusion to the land.
And not only that, Jonathan knew the Lord.
He did.
And so death for him was not judgment. Being absent
victory.
For the body is present with the Lord.
Victory.
He's somebody I'd like to meet someday.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And I'll tell him I have his name.
Yes. Yeah. That'll be great.
Yeah. And his other brothers that I don't believe they followed the Lord, but
right.
Hopefully they did.
Hopefully they did.
We don't know a lot about them.
No. And I really, this is the first time I'd ever heard of Malchishua. You know, you always see something new every time you read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's cool.
So it was an act of grace in some ways.
Right.
In many ways that Jonathan had a promotion.
True.
Yeah.
Promoted to heaven.
Go ahead and read 3-6.
Okay. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him critically. Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men died together the same day.
And, you know, so here's Saul. He's, you know, he had a chance to repent.
He did.
You know, if you knew it was your last day of life, I think it would be wise to be repenting and talking to God.
Oh, definitely.
You don't see any evidence of that.
Well, and he even knew what Samuel had said, that he was going to die.
Yeah.
He could have done an about face and decided to follow God. I mean, there are people in the Bible that have done that.
That's true. Manasseh's one.
Right. You know,
but I don't want to get...
Yeah.
That's a sidebar.
Yes.
But, so here's Saul, and he gets struck by several arrows.
Right.
He's mortally wounded. That meaning he is alive here, but he's going to die. Nothing can stop that.
Right.
Now, he tells the armor bearer, which is kind of like a bodyguard, mm-hmm. An extra man who's protecting Saul, mm-hmm. to take his sword and jam it into him.
Right.
But he wouldn't do it. Matter of fact, he ends up falling on his own sword. Mm-hmm. After Saul takes his own life.
Right.
In all indications, the Jews thought this was no other than Doeg, who was the guy, mm-hmm. the Edomite, that went and told Saul about the priest. Remember that?
I remember that. Yeah.
And he slew them with his sword.
Right.
Now, if this is him, and mm-hmm. we don't know for sure, but it probably is. Jewish tradition is pretty accurate.
Right.
He actually died the same sword that he killed the priest with.
Interesting. Okay.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
So Saul, his bodyguard, his armor bearer, mm-hmm. his sons are gone.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah.
And then all the men died the same day.
All of them.
All of his men.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Now,
it really is.
Saul, you know, he stuck himself, he stabbed himself, he committed suicide.
Right.
But we know in 2 Samuel 1, 4 through 10, which we'll talk about next time.
Okay.
Not that we're going anywhere anytime soon, but that'll be the first chapter of the next book.
Right.
An Amalekite comes to David and he starts bragging on, yeah, I killed him. I killed Saul. I saw this. Mm-hmm. And David handles that quite well.
Right.
It's kind of, I think he was surprised, which, mm-hmm. but, now the Amalekite, do you remember the Amalekite?
Ooh.
The Amalekites, when God told Saul towards the beginning of the story of Saul
right.
and David mm-hmm. to go kill all the Amalekites and the animals.
And didn't.
He did. And he brought back animals. He brought back the king.
Right.
And old Samuel said, I hear some goats in the background.
Yeah. Well, that was when that was when Samuel left him and he didn't see him again until the psychic, Witch of Endor.
And that's later.
Okay.
But this is the beginning of him losing the kingdom. He went to try to grab Samuel
from
living.
That's when he tore his robe, his mantle. Okay, yeah.
And that was symbolic of... And so God's providence used Amalekite to bring the news to David.
Right.
Now, either the Amalekite lied and wanted to take credit for killing Saul. Mm-hmm. Or Saul said, hey, you, come here and you do it.
Right.
And it could have been either one.
Right.
But you can see God's sovereignty and kind of a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. True.
His justice.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead and read 7.
Okay.
If you would.
Then when the Israelites along the valley and those across the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died, they abandoned their towns and fled. And the Philistines came and occupied them. The next day when the Philistines... Oh, I was keep on
That's
going.
Okay.
Okay. You want me to stop?
Yeah, stop okay. there. Yep. You're getting a little bit excited.
I like to read. Yes.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this part? Do you have any insight?
I just can imagine how sad the people would be knowing that, I mean, the whole kingdom, mm-hmm. kingship and his family almost all have been wiped out. And just imagine how awful they felt.
Yeah. And they were scared.
And they ran away. I mean, they were so scared because their leadership, mm-hmm. was gone, and so it scared them. They also knew about the Philistines. They remembered Goliath, and they're like, okay, we're getting out of Dodge, and that's what they did.
Yeah, so they're over there looking. They're wanting to get out of there because they see this isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fearful. They're scared.
Right, yeah.
Once again, you know, a leader makes or breaks.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
people, I remember years ago when President Clinton was, and he said he didn't know what sex was. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah.
And then he found out there was oral sex, and he said, I didn't know that was sex.
Right.
And people were supporting, oh, yeah, well, this character, you know, what he does in the bedroom.
Yeah.
But see, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says be sure your sins will find you out.
Right.
And your sins and the things we do as leaders
right.
trickle down to everyone, and it hurts everyone.
Right.
I mean, look at our country now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get awful. Off that.
Well, yeah, we could stay on that for a while.
What happens to churches too?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, leadership as pastors, elders. That's why Timothy, 1 Timothy 3 is so particular.
Yeah, and not to chase a rabbit or anything, but it is just so awful to see a pastor fall. You know, it really is.
It affects them all. It affects the whole church.
Yeah. And
if you're a well-known pastor, it affects millions of people.
And we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot through our time.
You know, there's a pastor, Alistair Begg.
Uh-huh.
And I love his preaching. I've always loved his preaching.
Right.
But he said something very controversial. He gave someone called and wanted to know, should she go to a transsexual's wedding?
Okay.
And he said, people are going to get mad at me, but I think you should go and also bring a gift.
Hmm.
Now, I think that that was not well thought through.
Right.
A wedding marriage is only marriage with a man and woman.
Right.
We don't define from our government or our culture what marriage is. Only God does.
Right.
I don't think you should be ugly, but you should not put your affirmation or affirm something like that.
Right. Right. Definitely.
You're right to love. I think that's what he was trying to say.
I think he was trying to say you want your child to know that you love and support them, but you can't support sin.
Yes.
And if you go to that wedding, you're basically supporting sin. But there's nothing wrong with you taking your child and having, you know, taking them to lunch or something like that and spending time.
If you have a child who happens to be struggling with that issue.
Right. You still have to love them.
You still need to love them and invest in them and pray for them.
Yes. Pray for them. Definitely.
But going to the wedding and supporting that with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
That's the line. You cross the line. But see, that's affected millions of people.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. You're right.
Go ahead and read 8 through 10.
Okay. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and they sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among their people. They put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths and fastened his body to the wall of Beth Shan.
So basically, they proclaimed in their temple that their victory, they gave glory to their gods and Ashtoreth.
Right.
This is sad.
It is sad.
Saul started off strong.
He did. He did. He really could have been a strong influence for the Lord.
You know, I would rather finish strong and go out on a chariot of fire than start off strong, end strong and go out on a chariot of fire than start strong and end fickle.
Right.
Lukewarm.
Yeah, definitely. I want to end strong with integrity. Definitely.
So here they are. They behead Saul. They put their bodies in his sons, and they're just like, they're just mocking it. It almost sounds like what a lot of what Islam does with some of their people, where they, like, what were the terrorist group? Terrorist groups. I forget the specific one. ISIS.
ISIS, yeah.
Yeah, they would really do some vulgar things to the bodies.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And they put it so everyone could see it.
Right.
Now, it seemed like everyone, was just dead. There was nothing left. But God always has a remnant.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it may seem that, there's no one left. Remember Elijah?
Mm-hmm.
There's no one left.
That's right.
And there were 7,000 left.
There were.
Hidden in caves.
Well, sometimes you get that down, you feel alone, like everybody's left you.
You can feel very alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead and read 11 through 13.
When the people of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their valiant men marched through the night to Bethshan. They took down the bodies of Saul and his sons from the wall of Bethshan and went to Jabesh, where they burned them. Then they took their bones and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days.
So despite all this disgrace and tragedy, you have brave men, valiant men.
Right.
That God still had chosen for his good purpose, a remnant. And they went to Jabesh Gilead and took the bodies of Saul and his sons from the place of humiliation and would give them a proper burial.
Right, which was necessary, which was the right thing to do.
So there's always a glimmer of hope. This was kind of a dark, sad, tragic.
Right.
But we can learn from this.
Yes, we can.
What do you think we can learn?
We can learn that we need to stay strong in Christ. We need to start strong, finish strong. We need to listen to him. Don't listen to others around us. You know, so many times in life, we give ear to things we shouldn't give ear to. And we need to make sure we don't do that, because Saul did that a lot. And we need to put our trust in God's peace.
Yeah.
We need to trust that he's going to always be there with us. And we need to end strong. Very important.
Totally concur.
Right.
Yeah, this is a good one. And we're going to end to 2 Samuel.
Okay.
Which is interesting. I think we're going to see David. You know, David was revived, but you know,
him becoming king, right?
Him becoming king. He comes back to God on fire for the Lord.
Right.
And man, thank God for second, third, fourth, fifth.
Oh, chances. My goodness. So we'll hit that one next week.
Yep.
But definitely this story can help us remember that.
God can take your mess, turn to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Goodbye.